This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The Athletic.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
Here's Rafa Silva. Only Nunez really to aim at for him. There's the attempt to find him. Canate missed it. Nunez, 2-1.
So Liverpool completing summer business early doors and the impending arrival of Darwin Nunez is another example of some savvy recruitment by the Reds. Can he fill the hole which will be left when Sadio Mane leaves? And what other movement can we expect in this Liverpool squad this summer? I'm Steve Hobbesall. This is The Red Agenda with The Athletic's Kiva O'Neill and Rafa Honigstein. And we've got to start with Darwin Nunez. Kiva, Liverpool about to smash their club record fee for him. The deal could, total over £80 million. And it's pretty exciting for all supporters.
So exciting. It feels almost like Luis Diaz, where it just takes over, doesn't it? And quite quickly. And that sort of happened. I've been on holiday, but unable to ignore it, you know, getting messages and notifications and just seeing it, you know, all going on social media. So, yeah, exciting, I think, to get the business done early and obviously to break a transfer record for any player is pretty exciting. And when you know that the last player Liverpool did that for was Virgil van Dijk and the impact he had on the squad, then, you know, kind of shows the belief that they have in Darwin Nunez and what he can do for Liverpool. So it's, you know, it kind of feels like they're already filling a gap for obviously Sadio Mane who will leave, but also maybe just it feels like you have to use the word evolution obviously when talking about him, but it does maybe point to the evolution Liverpool might have in the seasons to come. You know, he is 22, I think he's 23 this month. So obviously 6-year contract would, you know, get the best years really of him at Liverpool if you consider, you know, Mane and Salah are now 30. So that's sort of the idea, such a long contract as well. But, you know, he's such a young player but can play obviously through the middle, out wide. And I feel like they're trying to, he feels like a sort of classic Jurgen Klopp signing that Jurgen hasn't always made, but it kind of makes loads of sense because, you know, he's a player who can fill in a lot of different positions. And Jurgen has spoke right from the beginning at Liverpool and other clubs about, you know, that positional awareness of players and players who, you know, don't really play positions. They just sort of play on the pitch. And that's, I think, exactly what he's going for with Darwin.
Rafa, how big a statement is this to get it over the line so quickly? He's a player that you know well.
It's a statement which speaks to Liverpool's efficiency and professionalism in the transfer market. I think the excitement stems from the fact that they rarely get players wrong. I don't think many Liverpool players would have seen much of Darwin Nunez. I saw him in the Champions League. I must say he looked at times a little bit raw. But having seen all these signings in recent years and what Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp have made out of them, it's very hard to even be doubtful because every single player, despite some of the misgivings, has turned good. I mean, I remember talking about Roberto Firmino thinking 40 million euros at the time. Wow, that's a lot of money for somebody who's a little bit inconsistent. And it just shows you, you know, how differently we think about that. The same would be Diogo Jota, who I think many people thought, okay, good squad player, but what he's really done at Wolves, you know, scores the odd goals, but you can see how transformative the impact of a good system is, of a good coach is, and of course being surrounded by all these players then makes players better as well in the functioning system. So I think Liverpool's track record in recent years gives supporters every reason to be very, very optimistic, even if they haven't seen that much of Nunez yet.
You would presume, Kiva, that this is a deal that's been in the pipeline quite a while. As Rafa said, we've seen him in the Champions League. There's been a lot of time to assess him. And Liverpool's scouting department don't spend this money lightly.
No, they definitely don't. And I think, you know, those clips of Jurgen Klopp speaking about him after the game against Benfica, and, you know, saying, oh, he's a good-looking boy, and then goes on to say, you know, what an exciting player he is. And it almost felt like a great opportunity for Liverpool to scout him, you know, exactly as, you know, they can on the field and, you know, watch him. And because obviously Jürgen Klopp can't fly out, you know, to these games and watch players firsthand, because it would, you know, like any manager. So that's why they have scouts. So, you know, they're the people that can do, you know, that kind of quiet work that goes on behind the scenes. The players that Liverpool will sign in 3 years that they're looking at now, you know, that kind of thing. And obviously we know how long they tracked Luis Diaz for. It's probably similar with Darwin Núñez. I mean, it feels like a lot of clubs have been tracking him. Obviously, Manchester United have been mentioned, Chelsea, PSG. Lots of, you know, the top clubs have all been sort of named elite European clubs. And Liverpool look like quite easily that they've, you know, beaten them all to the signing of him. So I think that bodes well. And yeah, seeing him at Anfield, I did think, like Rafa mentioned there, you know, it feels like he was a bit raw, but on another night he could have knocked Liverpool out of the Champions League. You know, there was a couple of offside goals, I think, wasn't there? Obviously he scores as well. And I think, you know, fans as well just get to look at him at that night, and probably a lot of them were convinced by him then. But I think a lot of work still to do for him in terms of probably, you know, that pressing motion that Liverpool do so well. And if he's going to be, you know, sometimes playing in that number nine sort of channel, and then obviously out wide as well, he's got to press like a madman, as we know, to play in this Liverpool team. And I think that'll come. His height is, I think, really exciting, just because, you know, Liverpool don't tend to have 6'2" strikers anymore. And that, I think, is quite encouraging, just to feel like, you know, it feels like this new thing to challenge. And obviously with, you can't go on about Darwin Núñez and not mention about Manchester City signing Erling Haaland, which felt like a bit of a game over transfer maybe for the title next season. But Liverpool have done, you know, the business now, which suggests that they're right back in, you know, a title race which hasn't even begun yet. And I think that's why, you know, fans are feeling so good, because Liverpool have acted so swiftly, and, you know, this has probably been, you know, in their ideas and pipeline for a while anyway. But it just feels like to get it done at the beginning of the summer, and, you know, to get him into pre-season once that kicks off later in the summer, and, you know, get him embedded in that squad. And you'd imagine he would go into the squad like Luis Diaz has, but Luis Diaz feels like one of these one-off characters who just looked like he'd played for Liverpool forever. Hopefully that'll be the same for Darwin Núñez, but if it's not, you know, we know the players have took the time to get integrated into Jürgen Klopp's teams in the past, over the past few seasons anyway. And if he's one of them, then I think you have to be patient, don't you? But, I mean, just watching his goal highlights, it's definitely an exciting one.
Yeah, he's young, isn't he? So 22 years old, and, you know, you mentioned his height. He's a tall lad, but he's fast. And Rafa, physical as well. There's a lot of attributes there. And we know that Jürgen likes players who are adaptable in his side.
Yeah, he does, because he wants them to work hard, and work hard also means being able to learn, being able to grow, being able to improve, to listen, to be influenced in a positive way by your teammates. I think that is another characteristic of this Liverpool team. You feel that, like every Klopp side, but perhaps even more so this one, they are much bigger than the sum of their parts. You would take one or two out, and maybe this is something we'll see in the future again with players leaving this Liverpool team, and they probably won't have the same impact without the players around them doing exactly the same thing, everyone being on the same page. That synchronicity that is the key to modern football, and an ability to attack collectively that comes with a shirt in these days. And Núñez will have to play that way. I'm sure that Jürgen Klopp would have spent many hours talking to him beforehand, making sure that he has exactly the right mindset. That is another thing that Liverpool do really well: the due diligence, not just on the skill set, not just on the background, but also on the player's mentality, making sure that they fit in, and there's no people who feel, for whatever reason, they don't want to buy into that system, that they're so good or so different that they don't quite have to work as hard. And it's brilliant, because I think, as a neutral, and I would count myself in that, even though I'm supportive of Jürgen Klopp for perhaps obvious reasons, it is hard not to be impressed with Liverpool strengthening from a position of strength. You know, you see big teams ebb and flow with replacements coming in, with big players leaving. But to see everything at the same time, the replacements arriving when the incumbents are still there and still in their prime, that is, I think, very impressive. I mean, as of this moment, Liverpool have six world-class forwards for three positions. You might argue about one or two players in other clubs who might individually still perhaps be better. But to look at that front line of six players at the moment and not think that this is just an incredible array of talent is impossible. So I think that just shows you how well Liverpool are handling this transition even before this transition has actually really happened.
And on that, and Kiva, you started by talking about the evolution of the team, but of course when Liverpool signed Alisson and Van Dijk, it felt like something was being built. Now spending, what, 80 plus million pounds when you're nearer the top of the pile feels like a very different thing with the signing of Darwin Núñez.
Yeah, because it feels like forward thinking, like Rafa sort of mentioned there, you know, building for the future, but also like building for now and just adding to this already brilliant squad. You know, we spoke so much last season about how, you know, this Liverpool team are better than the Liverpool team that won the league, that won the Champions League. And obviously they weren't able to do that last season now. But I think it's sort of, you look back in the season and as well, and you look at Jurgen Klopp, you know, obviously committing his future to Liverpool, and then signings like this now kind of are adding to like a new future under Jurgen Klopp, and one that, you know, I think encourages fans because it's bringing in players like Diaz, as we've mentioned, Núñez, who, you know, are young players, but players that can fit right into the squad straight away. Because, you know, it took Klopp a few seasons to get this Liverpool team where he wanted them to be, and they're in such a great position now. Like, as I mentioned, this is the best Liverpool team we've probably ever seen last season, you know, to play all those games and get to those finals and to take the title race to the last day was just remarkable, incredible. You know, we spoke so much about it. But for this team now to be adding, you know, new pieces to the puzzle almost, that going into the new season, I think is incredible, especially when you think, you know, Liverpool might be about to, you know, lose Sadio Mane, who's a club legend, one of the best to play for Liverpool, yet they're, you know, potentially replacing him with a player who could be even better. And I think that's so exciting that is able to happen, because, you know, Liverpool of the past, you lost, you know, the Torres and Suarez and players like that, and were unable to recover from that, and unable to, you know, sign players of that ilk again. You know, they felt like one-offs, where Liverpool are signing those one-off players for every single position. They've got a team of, you know, legends for Liverpool, but also, you know, exciting young players, world-class players. And I think that is just, you know, that evolution from when Jurgen Klopp's come in and been able to do that is amazing. And I think, you know, that's the most exciting thing about this Liverpool team, is that they can be even better next season.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It's sort of testament to the brilliance of the squad that I'm not sure we've fully digested that the loss of Sadio Mane, Rafa. Kiva described him as a club legend, absolutely so. Obviously, pre the Champions League final, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do after it. After it, the news comes out that he wants a new challenge. What's your understanding of why it's important to Sadio Mane to move on at this time?
Well, I think we'll find out a little bit more when that transfer goes through, but there are probably a number of reasons, as there always are. One is, I think that Sadio Mane feels, for whatever reason, that perhaps he's been a little bit overshadowed unfairly in the conversation about Mohamed Salah and Liverpool's attention to Salah's contract renewal. I think they've sort of told Sadio that, you know, we have to sort out the deal with Mo first, and we'll talk to you soon, and perhaps that triggered something where he felt, you know, I'm being a little bit undervalued. I don't think it's a big deal as such. I don't think this is a player leaving in a huff or feeling let down or being upset. But just that little sense of perhaps people don't quite appreciate me as much as they should have done, which you get at players at this level quite easily for reasons that perhaps are more perceived than real. Plus a very strong offer from Bayern, both in financial terms and in terms of his importance. I think Bayern have been playing on this idea that, you know, he's going to be one of the key players for them. He's going to lead the line, probably in a replacement of Lewandowski, even though this is not 100% sure yet. But I think in all likelihood, he's going to be leading the line for Bayern in place of Lewandowski next season. And a strong pitch, and don't forget he has a German agent, so there's a natural link with Germany. So a combination of reasons, none of which I think reflect badly on either him or Liverpool. I think it's one of those situations where a relationship has run its course. I don't think any party should feel aggrieved or feel that they behaved wrongly. As I said, if it's true that Sadio feels that perhaps he's been a little bit unappreciated, then this should be taken in context of professional footballers always thinking that, you know, I'm the best player, I should be seen as such, should be perhaps paid as such. Some are more vocal in that, some are a bit more introvert and only talk about it later, but there is always that feeling of, you know, I want to be the main player. That's what makes these players so good in the first place, that confidence and that natural sort of sense of I'm the number one. And perhaps there's a point now after all these successful years where Sadio feels that he needs to do that somewhere else.
Bayern are getting an absolute gem, aren't they, Kiefer? I mean, there's so many moments and memories that we've got with Sadio.
Yeah, and you have to just go back to his goal against Bayern Munich, which I think was one of my favourite Sadio Mane moments. That was like Liverpool are going to win the Champions League kind of moment. Obviously, you know, there've been so many more moments from him as well. Just been a joy to watch. And I feel like, you know, fans aren't obviously, because, you know, I think Bayern have had maybe a second bid sort of rejected, but they'll probably come back with another. And it just kind of feels at the moment like the breakup isn't quite, you know, it hasn't quite happened yet. So we can't kind of, you know, start thinking into it too much. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite sad not to see Mane in a Liverpool shirt again. You know, if it does happen and he does leave, I mean, if he doesn't, some remarkable thing happens and he doesn't and he does stay, then imagine, you know, the options Liverpool have next season would just be mind-blowing, really. But yeah, I think so sad, you know, to think that he'll never play for Liverpool again if that happens, because he has just been just wonderful. You know, you think that first season, the first goal, you know, when he's on Klopp's back after it against Arsenal, and from there you just knew, wow, what a special player, because you'd seen bits of him obviously at Southampton, and you know, the quickest hat trick ever and that kind of thing, and you know, he'd been on your radar a little bit as a, you know, just a watching football fan, but then he comes to Liverpool and just, you know, takes it by storm, especially when you consider the amount of goals he scored for Liverpool in the past few seasons alongside Salah and Firmino. They made, you know, one of the best ever front threes there'll be. And, you know, this season he adapted himself a bit more. He, you know, played down the middle a little bit more when Luis Diaz come in, and, you know, he showed that hunger to play wherever and to fight the fight for Liverpool, which he always did. You know, he was one of those players that you could always depend on. He just came up with so many magical moments, and just, yeah, I always just loved his enthusiasm to play football. To watch him was a joy because he had so much joy playing, and he will, you know, go on to have that joy, and that'll be, I think, difficult to watch him. He'd be one of those players where, you know, you watch and you think, oh, imagine him playing for Liverpool still, because I think he's going to go on and, you know, be incredible, you know, into his 30s, because, you know, we know now the players have the diet, they have the right mentalities and attitudes, and he's definitely one of them, a world-class player who probably didn't always get his flowers, but definitely deserves to get them, because, you know, he won AFCON earlier this season and went on to have that, you know, second half of the season, which I think Liverpool fans will remember forever.
Rafa, we talked an awful lot last season about who were Liverpool's best front three, and, you know, when we were getting to the finals, which three are going to play. Now Nunes is in the equation as well. It throws up lots of questions, and you sort of think, what does it mean for Diogo Jota? I know there's going to be lots of games and lots of opportunities, but that same conversation's going to exist, isn't it? Who are Liverpool's best three?
I don't think Liverpool or Klopp should think in those terms, and I don't think they will. I think they'll see it as as a real slog next season. The amount of games that you'll have to play just before the World Cup is just crazy. Yes, there's a few League Cup games missing, but Liverpool will play every 3 days from August till, well, at least November, and then of course onwards with Champions League and games coming thick and fast, and you will need that depth. So Klopp will do what he did this season already, look very carefully who looks sharp, who looks fit in training. One day it'll be Luis Diaz, one day it'll be Jota, one day it'll be, you know, Mo Salah perhaps playing a slightly more peripheral role if he needs more time. He at times looked tired. Sadio Mane at times looked tired. How could they not look tired after the AFCON and after the amount of games? So to rest them from time to time was absolutely necessary. And we saw the importance of even more fringe players like Minamino and Rigi when he was fit, because you need that rotation. So I don't think that is going to be an issue. If, you know, you play in a different league with fewer games or in a different season, then you might say, oh, hold on a second, you know, this creates problems. I have too many automatic starters. How am I going to fit that? But A, that's not the case. And B, again, you can rely on Jürgen. And I think this pull he has on the team and the total control he has of all sporting matters in the club to manage that really well. If, you know, there's a perceived weakness of the manager, if players feel that they are bigger than the team, bigger than the club, then this sort of setup with five, maybe six fantastic automatic starters is going to create huge problems. But you just don't see it happening at Liverpool. A, because of the character of the players, and B, because Klopp will just very calmly say, you know, one day it's you, Tuesday it's you, don't worry, you know, we have a Champions League game coming up in 2 days' time. Your chance will come, and it's going to be an easy sell for the players because they will be very, very tired.
What a time to take the reins in terms of Julian Ward taking over from Michael Edwards. It's been a transition over a period of time, Kiva. Ward, for example, was involved in, you know, in the recent signing back in January. So fantastic for him. And also on the horizon, we see Calvin Ramsey now, Carvalho entering the club. Do you expect any more business, do you think?
I think they're the main ones, aren't they? You know, to Ramsey, you'd imagine, you know, if he is to sign for Liverpool, he'd be the one that comes next. And then, I mean, I think it'll be, the focus will be on sales then, you know, of getting players, moving players on, the likes of Nico Williams, who's probably keen on, after a great half season with Fulham, and, you know, he's playing for Wales, will play at the World Cup for Wales, you know, players like that will want to move on and get minutes, you'd imagine. Nat Phillips will likely want to do the same, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, his career, I guess, is sort of at a bit of a crossroads. Obviously, played quite a lot of minutes last season, sort of under the radar. No one kind of noticed how many minutes he did pick up. But he's a player who probably, for his, you know, his own career, needs to maybe move on to another club. There's, I think, you know, players like Takumi Minamino, who Rafa mentioned, played a massive part last season. Again, kind of under the radar, his goals were important, especially in, obviously, the FA Cup, the League Cup. I think Liverpool will do what Liverpool have always done under FSG, and that's, you know, make money to sign players like Darwin Nunes. And if there's a player to come, you know, later in the summer, then I think that will be, you know, very much on how much they make in sales, and that will be probably the Liverpool's prerogative, I think, after getting Nunes in. And obviously, we talk about marquee signings all summer, but, you know, Nunes definitely would be one of those. And I think you then just see how the summer goes. But Liverpool, under Klopp, like to get that business done early. We know that it's so rare for them to leave it late. It's rare for them to, you know, make January signings like they did. Luis Diaz just out of the blue, I felt. You know, they like to get Konate in. How early was it that, you know, David Ornstein broke that story that Liverpool were going to sign Ibrahim or Konate? So Liverpool do like to know the personnel that they're going to be working with. Klopp likes to know that and likes to get that pre-season underway with, you know, as many players as he can. And obviously it's just going to be, you know, internationals are still happening now. It's been a hectic season for Liverpool, and, you know, plenty of players still playing football, and obviously with the World Cup on the horizon as well, it's, that pre-season will be so important in terms of just, you know, getting players where they need to be, but, you know, setting them up and preparing them for one hell of a season coming up, because, you know, we've never done this before, where a World Cup's just, you know, smack bang in the middle of a season, and it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how players cope and injuries and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think it's Liverpool do like to get players in early, and I think it'll be interesting to see if they go out for anyone else.
Rafi, are you worried about the burnout effect of this World Cup? So what, from mid-November to Boxing Day, the players leave their clubs. The intensity of this season is like nothing they'll have ever seen.
Yeah, how can you not be worried? I think there might even be a sort of a pre-burnout whereby, you know, in the weeks before the World Cup, one or two players will feel, you know, I have to be careful here. I don't want to miss the World Cup. So there might be that, like, the intensity might be dropping even before the World Cup has even started. And then if they come back, let's imagine that you win a World Cup. I mean, the Premier League, one way or the other, will be hugely impacted because the majority of these players coming back with the winning World Cup will be very likely to be playing in the Premier League. Just imagine players coming back in December, having won the World Cup, and then thinking, okay, now we've got a Boxing Day game against Brentford or Fulham, no disrespect. It's going to be really, really difficult. Really difficult for them to physically and mentally keep that intensity throughout the season. So again, I think it's another reason why you need to be as deep as possible. We talked about in the past about clubs trying to have deep squads to deal with the effects of COVID. We don't know if COVID is already history. We don't know if that might not come back either for this winter, for autumn. So put all that together and you're looking, I think, at a really challenging season. And clubs who have huge depth, who have variety, who have a system that works, that can carry individuals, even if one or two individuals on the given day might not work, rather than clubs relying on particular players, on particular individuals to help them, they are ready to benefit. Which is why I think, once again, Liverpool and City, because of the way that they're structured, because of the system that they play, because of the depth that they have, will be impossible to catch for anyone else.
Right, let's just finish the red agenda with a word on Mo Salah picking up the PFA Player of the Year, Kiva. I think personal awards are important to himself, aren't they? And, you know, if he's happy, that's all the better for Liverpool. An award voted for by his peers. Maybe hard to argue against it. Terrific season. First half of the season was out of this world. And I'm sure personally he's got an eye on the Ballon d'Or as well. An award system he finished, what, seventh in last year?
Yeah, I think for Mo Salah, he's one of those players that absolutely loves personal awards. You know, he could be in a team that's not winning trophies and he would be unhappy with that. But I think if personal awards are coming, that fuels his fire, doesn't it? He loves to win trophies, and obviously that, you know, the PFA one's absolutely massive, isn't it? It feels like a trophy that you've won, you know, probably taller than the European Cup, is it? That one's special to the players because it's voted for by other players. And, you know, we know he's won fans awards for last season, and they're important as well, you know, for fans to vote on that. But for, you know, your colleagues and, you know, your rivals as well to vote for you. And I think that'll be important to him to know that he's, you know, being recognised in that way. His season probably did peter out a little bit. I think, you know, Rafa mentioned that about, you know, the energy of Mane and Salah dropping off a little bit, which was, I guess, to be expected because they, you know, played a tournament, you know, in between lots of Liverpool tournaments, you know, for the nations. And I think if Salah had have won the European Cup, I think we'd definitely be, you know, we'd be talking about him a lot, about winning the Ballon d'Or. But I think Karim Benzema might have that sort of wrapped up. You don't know how the season starts because obviously it's a bit later in the year that the Golden Ball's dished out, isn't it? So I guess we'll have to see. But just a phenomenal season. I think I'd wrote that, you know, he was the player of the season for Liverpool on The Athletic, and I, you know, put it was 2 weeks that it was kind of defined by, and the goals against Manchester City, and then obviously he goes and just repeats the exact same goal almost against Watford. And I think that kind of summed up his season, because right then in those couple of weeks he was the best player in the world and no one could take that away from him. And, you know, he definitely is top three players in the world and, you know, the best player in the world on his day. I've said, you know, the final few weeks of the season, and he, you know, is whatever happens with his contract as last year will be at Liverpool. I think that's massive. You know, maybe it will be a sort of last dance, and, you know, if Liverpool are to win the Premier League next season, whatever else, you know, I think Salah will be massively important to that. And he's a player who's obviously not going to the World Cup as well, so he'll have, you know, rest when other players don't, which could, you know, be helpful to him and to Liverpool.
Rafa Kiva, superb. Thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, you can read all of the articles on Liverpool, everything on the site, if you head to theathletic.com/Liverpool pod. There's a special price right now, £1 a month for 6 months. That's at theathletic.com/Liverpool pod. Thanks for listening to The Red Agenda. We'll see you next time.